Hey, good morning, everybody. Rachel, thank you, the team. Appreciate you guys bringing it this morning. It's good to be home, for sure. It's way good to be back. Always good to go and take the adventure, but it's always better to be back here in Durango and back where home is, for sure. The trip to Nicaragua was off the charts. It was absolutely fantastic. A lot of things to be thankful for there. To you, the church, I just want to tell you guys thank you for making it possible, for the help and what you did to open the door for 23 of us to go down and do some work that way. I want to say thanks to the staff, knowing that I can step out and we're not going to miss a beat here on any level. Thankful for Jimmy filling pulpit and absolutely smashing it while I was gone. Thankful, though, when I think about my side of the trip down there, thankful for the guys that I went and got to spend that time with. My they're just my brothers. Thankful, too, for the chance to preach. Get to preach five times while I was there out of Isaiah chapter 6 and just the impact that it had in my life, for sure. Thankful for God's great display of his goodness down there. Think about this with me for just a minute. At this time last week, we were walking in teams through a number of different communities down there, handing out what would be the equivalent of 1,200 bags of staples. Where we went into, Jim was, I forget the number of communities we were in. 13 communities. Right, so 13 communities. We dropped food at every place in 13 communities, beans, rice, and sugar. You played in that, church. 18,000 pounds of food. Just overwhelmed by that when I think about it. Thankful too for God's display of his power. This is just one small picture of that, but Sunday morning last week, Rod and Julie Pickett and myself and some folks from the leadership of the church in Cañas Blancas, which is just a tiny little town where they've got a church. It's really just kind of in the sticks. And we're walking down this dirt road, and we walk up to a home, and a little girl running around playing outside, her name's Paula. Asked Paula if her parents were around, and she went in and came out with her dad. And we found out as we're talking to him that his wife had recently left him, ran off with another guy, left him with their daughter. And, you can imagine the moment. And so we got to pray with him. We handed him this bag of food and got to pray with him and let him know that the church of Casa de Dios and God himself loved him, his family. And after we get done praying, I looked at him and I said, hey, do you have a Bible? And he says, no. And gave him a Bible and I said, hey, this guy's name is Marvin. And I said, Marvin, the cool thing about the Bible is we're not reading, the reason you're in the Bible isn't to try to like earn more points with God or just get like more smart spiritually that way, but to take in deep the great story of redemption that's found within the scripture. The big story is that God comes to reconcile broken humanity and make things whole again. And that we don't come to God after we've ordered our life or put our life together, but that we come to him and let him put our life together for us, right? And as I'm going back and forth with this guy, just let him know that even that morning, in that moment, the guilt, the shame, the regret, the burden, he could let it all go and receive the free gift of salvation. And Marvin prayed and received Christ. Yeah, we celebrated. And we walk away from that thinking, this has taken place while you guys are worshiping here, right? While you guys were here doing the thing here, God was using First Baptist there at the same moment. And this guy Marvin's life is different forever. And so you need to pray for this guy. He's got a tough road to hoe in front of him. But to listen to him pray and just ask for God's mercy and then to pray for God to reconcile his marriage. And I told him that we'd pray with him for that. And so most, if not all of you, are probably never going to meet Marvin. But if you pray for Marvin and his wife, and that God would heal and restore there, that'd be absolutely fantastic. But I share that with you. It was a fantastic trip. You need to grab folks, you know, the guys from my side of the team, talk to Jim and Denise and the folks that played on the other side of that. It was a dynamic 2 weeks. In First Baptist, you played on that. And I want you to understand something. That's just a springboard into where God's taking us next. We've got Night to Shine coming here in a couple weeks. We've got the Community Cares Run coming the week after that. God's going to do some stuff with us the next few weeks. Okay, let's be ready to play. All right? On that, excited. Thankful for Casa de Dios. I love that place. It's just absolutely amazing to have a chance to be there and to worship with them. But I started thinking about that a little bit. But I love this place. I love First Baptist. I love the flavor here. I love what God does here. I love how he moves and how he works. And as I've been chewing and thinking on that, deeper yet, for as much as I love First Baptist, I love the church. You know, just the church. It's something we pray for often here for you, that you'll love the church too. Folks, I mean, you'll love the church because with the same heart that God loves the church. It's just so easy in the culture that we live in. And man, I look around the room, and for some of you, your experience with the church has not always been real positive, okay? Except that, man, my prayer is that in your time here at First Baptist, whether it's just one Sunday worshiping with us or you spend an extended period of time with us, that when you leave here, that the flavor that's left behind is that you really are into God's church. I mean, that you love it because he loves it. And he loves it so much that Jesus died for it, right? The church is an amazing thing. It's an amazing movement. And I started thinking along that line, especially as we go into the message today, man, it was the church that introduced me to Jesus Christ. Changed my life forever. It was the church where I grew my faith. And it was the church where I learned to love and to read the Bible. And it was the church where I learned the importance of serving, the importance of giving. And it was in the church where I learned what a marriage is supposed to look like, and how to love my wife. It was in a church where I learned how to love my kids and what a family dynamic is supposed to look like. But I mean, even bigger than that, it was in the church where I discovered my life mission. And as a 17-year-old kid, for the first time as a brand new Christ follower, it was the first time ever in my life I knew why I wanted to get up in the morning. And that's only expanded over the years to understand the mission that God had for me. And gosh, honestly, I can't even imagine where my life and my family would be without the church. Truth is this, that when the church gets it right, communities are transformed. Marriages are renewed and reconciled and strengthened and healed. When the church gets it right, the old are valued, the younger are mentored, the poor are helped, right, and the lost are found. When we talk about the church, and when church is doing its job, it is the most powerful force for God and good on earth. Today, as I preach this message, we call it the State of the Church. It's kind of a unique sermon, so for those of you visiting with us, this is a little bit different than maybe what is normal. It's definitely family style all the way, and the things that we're going to cover and the things that we're going to touch on are really important and relevant to folks that call First Baptist home. But if this is your first time, second time, you're kind of new to the church, it's actually a great starting point for you to kind of get a flavor of who we are, what we're doing, and where we think God's taking us that way. But when I jump in and we look at State of the Church, it's our time to kind of review what we see God having done in the year prior. How did we do in the things we were shooting for, and where do we think that God's taking us next? And simply put, when I look back on 2016, I think it was a really good year at First Baptist. Maybe not a great year, but it was a really, really good year. All right. I kind of nerded out. We put together some stats for you here, for those of you who are spreadsheet folks and into numbers and stuff like that. We just touched on a few different areas. When you look at the first couple baptisms, we only baptized a couple folks this last year. But I was reminded, I was just back in South Dakota for a funeral and came back. I was reminded that there are some churches, man, two baptisms, man, they'd be doing backflips on that deal. I hope we celebrated those well, because anytime we baptize, it's a big thing, okay? And the average attendance here last year was 405 folks. Again, to the average size church in America today is under 100, okay? But here's where I'm at on this moment. I'm going to talk about these for just a minute. We rejoice in this and we thank God for this. Durango's 85%+ unreached. Folks, my heart breaks a little bit because we got room. We got room for our coworkers. We got room for our neighbors. We got room for our friends. There's room. There's a seat at the table for them. And I'm just not even going to lie on this deal. 405, I'm thankful. Man, we got room for 500. We got room for 600. We really do. And the reason why I put these things up here for us, too, in particular, as we talk about worship and the weekly attendance, since I've been your pastor, on average, we grow about 4% a year, okay? Steady, just kind of a slow, steady growth that way. In the 12 years I've been here, we've had 2 years where we've had flat or negative growth, okay? This last year was negative growth. We actually took a step back, 6%, okay? There's a lot of reasons for that. A lot of different reasons for that. And the thing is, we put this number up here because we're going to celebrate when God expands our number. We're going to talk straight about it when he decides to shrink that number. And he's the one who decides what that's going to look like for us. With that, though, you move along on that giving. Average annual giving per household, $2,700. Now, think about this. That's 251 people represented giving to our general budget. If you look at it statistically from the national average, that's a strong number. It's really strong. Okay, so what I want to say to you, church, thank you. Thank you for doing that. But what that number does, see that number, 251 households into our general budget, of where we saw $690,000 come in this last year, doesn't tell the whole story. If you take designated giving on top of general giving, you know this church gave $900,000 last year. We can rejoice in that. $900,000 for kingdom activity. And you're going, well, what's designated giving? What does stuff like that go to? Like, for instance, in August, we took a special offering to try to bless and help Dean and Trish with some expenses and different things going on. All right? Generous amount of money came in that particular Sunday, okay? Church, you rally. You really do. And we're thankful for that. We keep moving on this serving. Total number of volunteers in our church, 238 folks. 405 on average, 238 of you are involved in some kind of ministry in this church. Spiritual maturity, nice job. I mean, that's a win, okay? Hear me. Spiritual maturity isn't measured by what we know. But spiritual maturity is measured by what we know impacting what we do, right? Jesus came on earth, to earth, honestly, and he tells us that, man, success wasn't measured by how much you could accumulate up here, but he came to serve. And so, man, when we're serving, we're coming in line with that example of Christ that way. Strong number there. And then the last, talking about groups, we're talking about small groups on this. Currently, what we're talking about is small groups that meet in homes during the week. That way, we got 135 folks plugged in that way. We're going to talk more about that along the way. Here's the point with the stats. One is just to nerd out, and there's some of you guys, again, who get really into that thing. When we look at this and we talk about it being a good year, it has been a good year. God's been really good to us, okay? We talk about maybe the pullback on attendance. We can talk about the baptism number that way. But you have to remember, too, 2016 will be remembered as long as I'm here. It was a transitional year. We turned over about half the spots on our elder board this year, for good reasons, okay? First time we've had that kind of turnover on leadership since we went to an elder-led situation, okay? That's healthy. It's all right. We also had turnover in our staff leadership. Gary retired, and Matt followed God's leading to go plant a church. And so we had to make some adjustments that way, and those things have particular pressures on us as a church. But what I want to share and what I want to remind you of too, though, is we had more kids at camp this summer than we ever have had before. We had more kids on mission trips than we've ever had ever go before. We're thankful for that. I mean, one of our targets, one of our goals specifically, is we want to have the best kid and children ministry in town. Okay, we've got it. Right, it's happening that way. With no direct oversight, no direct staff leadership on men's ministry, our men's groups this year grew and expanded. One example of that, for instance, because a number of you guys are connected to this, an email that started between three guys has now grown to 50 plus every day. Okay? Men's ministry expanding that way. God's been good to us that way. We're thankful for that. The service at Fort Lewis this past summer was a good service for us. It was a strong service. Because of the transition in leadership, we were able to watch God move and orchestrate Preston sliding to full time. We appreciate his leadership, how he makes us better in the day-to-day, and excited about where God's going to take him in the year to come. All right. Devona slid. And took a different slot and continues to expand her impact in our kids' ministry. God bless us by bringing us Jimmy and Lindsay. We got good ones there. All right, God's been really good to us. So, folks, we have a lot to rejoice in. All right, we have a lot to thank the Lord for. And I share all of this to say this one thing, that it's not the size of the church that matters. It's the impact of the church that matters. And folks, we're going to continue to seek him, and we're going to continue to chase after him, and we want to make an impact in Durango for the glory of his name. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2 this morning. Ephesians chapter 2. And as you're turning there, let me be clear. When we start talking about the kingdom, we start talking about the church, God doesn't need First Baptist. Okay, I hope we understand that. I mean, I'm thankful to be here. I love this church, but God is not sitting in heaven, you know, wringing his hands, really kind of going, man, I hope I don't lose First Baptist this year. Okay, he doesn't need First Baptist. Okay, God's going to do his thing and he's going to make it happen in his timing the way he wants. We're thankful for that. But what I want us to not lose sight on, though, is I don't want us to lose sight of what exactly we're connected into, what we're a part of on this. Because when we start talking about being part of the church, we can't be part of something more exciting and more dynamic than the work of the church. Right, Jesus came straight out and said, I will build my church. Who's he talking about? You, me, right? I will build my church, and I will build it, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That's a promise, right? So his church, when we talk about state of the church is exactly where it needs to be on exactly the right time, growing at exactly the right clip, accomplishing exactly the right thing. We've got a stake in that, First Baptist. It's exciting. Thankful for that. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 17 kind of starts to paint the picture for us. And Paul's writing here and he quotes Isaiah himself foretelling, talking ahead about Jesus and the impact he's going to have. And in verse 17 he says, and he came, Jesus came, and he preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. And I want you to circle far away and I want you to circle near because this is exactly how he builds the church. It's absolutely fantastic on this thing because for some of you in this room, you can't remember a time not going to church. Right? Your mom and dad took you to church, you went to Sunday school, you went to youth group, you went to youth camp, you did Awana, you did all those kind of things, right? That's your thing. And when God moved in your heart, that transfer out of darkness and into light was like one step. Okay? That's your story. Because it says, and Isaiah said, that he was going to preach peace to those of you who are near. The best part about the gospel, though, is he also preaches peace to those who are far away. And that's some of our stories too, isn't it? That we couldn't have been any further away. from the church. We couldn't have been any further away from salvation, right? We couldn't have lived any darker of a life. And yet he preached peace to us and he transformed our lives. We sit here different today. Okay? This is what he's doing. This is how he's building on this. And folks, it talks through, and it's about Jesus. Then he goes on in verse 18 and it says, for through him we both have our access, we both, meaning the far away and the near, we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Drop down to verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophet, here it is, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So now we're talking more about Jesus. Verse 21, in whom the whole building, we're talking about Jesus. Verse 22, in whom you also are being built together, we're talking about Jesus on this. Folks, when we talk about the church and we talk about First Baptist, man, we better be talking about Jesus and Jesus alone. It's not about our mighty fine ideas. It's not about our great and well-thought-out programming on this deal. It's not about our staff. This thing is and has always been about Jesus. Okay? A guy named J.C. Ryle was a preacher in the 1800s over in England, said this about the church. He said that the church is useful so long as we exalt the great object of our faith, but useful no further if we don't. Folks, as a church, First Baptist, when we start deviating and making more of something other than Jesus Christ, man, we might as well just mail it in. Might as well just call it a day at that point. And I want you to see what he's talking about here. This great promise he gives us of this work of Christ in verse 19. He says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household. And I want to say this morning, for you as you sit here this morning, that's good news. You're in. You're part of the team, right? You're not an alien. You're not a stranger. You're not an outsider on this. He's brought you in through the work of Christ. And folks, this is the exact message that we take to our friends and our neighbors and the people that we come in contact with every day. We're not talking about us. We're not talking about First Baptist. I mean, we're talking about the fact that you can be part of the family. You can have a family. I mean, the best part about me coming home after being gone for 2 weeks was my family. And I walk into the airport, and there my kids come running, right? My wife's waiting there for me. And all I'm saying today is you might be sitting here, might be your first, second time here, and you're going, I don't know if I can be part of God's family. And I'm telling you, because of Jesus, you can be part of his family. And the invitation is wide open today for you on that. All right, that's the best part. And so that's where we move and that's where we go. Charles Spurgeon said this, talking about the church. He says, give yourself to the church. Okay? And this is a big deal. And it's hard because, again, in the culture that we live in, it's real easy to be negative and cynical about the church. But Spurgeon's saying, give yourself to the church. You that are members of the church have not found it perfect, and I hope that you feel almost glad that you have not. If I had never joined a church till I found one that was perfect, I would never have joined one at all. And the moment that I did join it, if I had found one, I should have spoiled it. For it would not have been a perfect church after I became a member in it. Hear me on this. It's freeing on this. Folks, when we look at the church and we can find the issues with the church, understand something. The soiled carpet that you see, man, check the footprints on the carpet. They match your shoes. Okay? We're good at this thing. All right? We taint the church. And we're thankful, though, that that's not the final deciding factor on this. But notice he goes on and says this, and this is what I want you to grab a hold of. Still, imperfect as it is the dearest place on earth to us. God, make that so in our hearts. Make that be the case. And so when we start talking about the church, we start talking about First Baptist. First Baptist exists very, very simply to love God, to love people, and to make disciples. And when you close your eyes and you start to think about that mission of loving God and loving people and making disciples, when you close your eyes, I want you to see one thing. If there's one vision that you take with you, that vision is simply transformed lives. We just want you to be different, okay? That's the end game. Because if you're not different, then the gospel's not active. It's not here. Folks, the gospel at its core changes people. I just got to ask you this morning, are you different this year? I mean, are you different than you were a year ago? You've got to be different. Man, for the gospel to be at work in us, we're going to be different. He promises that he's going to change us. And he's going to continue to change us until we stand complete in front of him someday. And so we want to see lives changed and transformed on this. And I think that if you take the Great Commandment and you add the Great Commission with it, then what you end up with is a great church. Okay, Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31 says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." I love it when Jesus makes it simple. What are you going to focus on this week? And we're going to love God, we're going to love people. Right? And then he says in Matthew chapter 28, before he leaves, he looks at his disciples and he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." First Baptist, that's where we're moving, and that's what we're doing. And so what I want to do briefly here now is to unpack kind of this mission statement for us. I want to just come at it. There's a number of things I can say. I want to come at it from just a couple angles. And then I want to put in front of us and kind of introduce some targets that we have for 2017. Now, for those of you who might bristle a little bit at that thing, hear me. God's going to do whatever he wants to do on this thing. But as leadership, these are some things we've been praying about. These are the targets we're going to put in front of us. At the end of the day, we want God to do whatever he wants. Okay? But if we don't have anything that we're shooting for, we're going to wake up at the end of 2017 and kind of go, kind of looks the same. Okay? So number one, we're going to love God. That's it. Right? We're going to come after him. We're going to love him on this thing. All of our heart, all of our soul, with all of our mind. How are we going to do that? Challenging us to do it two different ways. One is by responding to him. Okay? And what are we talking about? Simply put, we're talking about worship. Okay? Worship is a response to an encounter with God. Okay? And how do we do that? It's in these encounters with God that we grow, and it's in these encounters with God that we are transformed, and it's in these encounters with God that we find these moments to respond to him. And we want you to respond in a couple different ways. Number one, we want you to respond to him personally on this. I read an article over the last couple weeks that said that the number one predictor of Christian growth and maturity is Bible reading. And I just sat back, and all I thought was, huh. It doesn't really get more complicated than that, huh? Kind of waiting for the special wiffle dust to come down from heaven, you know, and change something like that. And what he's saying is, man, you encounter God through your Bible. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense. Okay? Hear me, that it's not just reading, though. It's reading and responding. And practically, I'm going to get really profound. Okay, so hang in here with me. I mean, buckle up. It's reading and us responding by saying yes to the things that he says yes to and saying no to the things that he says no to. How's that for profound this morning, right? Okay. No more like long, drawn-out Bible studies and like consulting 15 of your friends to see if you should really say yes to something God's saying yes to. Let's be a group of people that when God says yes, we go yes. And when God says no, we just trust him on that thing and go, man, he's got to know better than I do. No. Straight? I think we can get there. All right? And we respond that way. So here's your challenge on that, to respond personally on that deal. You've got to have a piece of scripture in your head and your heart every single day. Okay? Again, there's nothing new about that, except that we're not very good at it. We struggle with this thing. And folks, we need to be in on this. And that's why I'm telling you, I mean, we got to be in. We got to have God's word floating around in our hearts. Hear me on this. Free yourself, though, from this idea that, man, I've got to, like, perform on this deal where, like, three chapters a day keeps the devil away. Right? Or I've got my Bible reading plan, and I've got to get all my boxes checked, or Jesus doesn't love me anymore. Okay? Man, all it takes is one piece of scripture. And if you're saying, Jeff, I just don't know how to do this. I don't really know how to search the scripture. I don't really know how to read it. Will you see me after the service? I'd love to talk with you. I mean, and it's not like I've got the magic elixir on this deal, but I've got one or two things I can throw at you that I think might work for you. Okay? But that's my challenge, is that will you have that piece of Scripture floating around in your mind and your heart, chewing on it, dwelling on it, and going that way with it, so you're going to respond to Him personally. Secondly, we want you to respond publicly. Okay, as we're talking about loving God, we want you to respond personally, but we also want you to respond publicly. And what we're talking about is this, folks, because for as good as it is to have that one-on-one with God, that way, you can't duplicate this moment. You can have your earbuds in and listening to worship music, and you can be singing at the top of your lungs somewhere, which I'm sure is awesome for you, okay? But the fact of the matter is you can't duplicate singing like we had this morning. You just can't do that. We need each other on that. And so we want you to respond to each other or respond to God publicly. Corporate worship is special. It's unique. It's a set-apart expression of our faith that we can only gather together and accomplish. Now, here's the deal. You've noticed we've never sat back. We don't have our ushers sitting back there, you know, with our roster, going, I wonder who's here and who's not. So we can send you emails and go, man, you've missed 3 Sundays in a row, right? But if we monitor our kids' attendance downstairs and upstairs, on average, it's families with kids, it's 1.7 Sundays a month, which is, we're right in the national average. So here's the challenge. Let's raise our game. Okay? If you're a 1.7, go crazy. Add that 0.3 in there. I don't quite know what that looks like, but make it happen. But let's raise our game on this thing. What does it look like to go 3 out of 4? We need this thing. But here's the other thing I'm asking you guys. So talk about that within your family on that. But here's the other challenge, and this is what I'm asking you to join us in prayer for as a church. We're going to ask God, in a sense, for a tithe, and we're going to ask Him for a tithe of people. We averaged 405 folks in attendance last year. At the end of 2017, we're asking that there will be 445 of us here. Okay? We all know somebody. And we're asking Him to do that. Specifically, we're asking that God, we could see 24 people come to know Christ and 24 folks baptized this year. We got to get busy because it's the end of January and the tub hasn't been filled yet. So we got to get, unless we got a couple volunteers real quick. I got water in the back. So, here's the deal. I mean, we're praying for that because if Durango is 85% plus unreached, I think there's 24 folks in town that should be invited into walking with Christ, don't you think? We're going to pray for that. God's going to do His thing, but we're going to pray and we're going to ask God to make that thing happen, all right? Let's never underestimate the value of personal and public worship, all right? So, number two. So that's number one, by responding to Him. Number two, by giving to Him. And I include giving here because it's really a gauge of where our heart is. Jesus says that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. 2 Corinthians tells us that we give cheerfully and we give hilariously this way, and what I'm saying and why I'm challenging us on our giving, okay, is that this is the best way for us to respond on this. Strong giving, okay, I know for some of us, we give a lot more than that $2,500 number I had on the board. For others of us, we've just never quite taken that step of faith to give, and so here's the challenge, all right? If you've never given before, you've never consistently given that way, is maybe it's $50 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. But it's a number and you're saying, I'm going to do this. Okay? If you're a percentage giver, maybe it's time to bump it a percent or two. Okay? The reason why I bring this up is as a church, we tithe 25 cents on every dollar that comes in to go to global outreach partnerships. 25 cents on every dollar. Okay? So that's where we start. What that does as a church is it puts a pinch on our local ministry budgets, meaning Devona, Preston, Michelle, Jimmy, with some of the stuff that they oversee. God's good in that, but by us upping our game that way, it provides the resources for those ministries to expand. All right? And all we're asking for is for you to consider and pray about that. One of the ways to do that, and I don't know if you've seen this yet or not, and I don't want you to do it right now, but after we're done, go to the website. We redesigned the website. New look, new logo, pretty top shelf. Look, there's an online giving form. We'll let you fill that out. It's so easy, I could do it, all right? And I want you to understand on this deal, though, as it sits, I'm not asking, well, here's the deal. Online giving, too. Great accountability. It keeps you consistent that way. And the Dobish family, we jumped on, we're in, and we're going to give that way moving forward. We'd encourage you to do the same. But here's the bigger thing. When you go to the new website, we got a guy in our church who's a design major up at the Fort who just kind of redesigned our website for us. Came up with a new logo, real crisp, real clear. You can see it up at the top. Here's the best part. We get to go to church in a castle, folks. Awesome. Okay. And we want to invite people to the castle. And we want to do that. But contemplate that. Consider that thing. God, how do you want me to give? How do you want me to respond to you that way? And jump in and let's go that way. So that's love God. Number two, love people. There's a lot of different ways for us to love people. I'm going to focus just on a couple. Again, I'm not, and hear me, because I don't need anybody kind of getting after me later. I'm not saying these are the only way that you can love people. Right? I'm not saying that. These are the two ways we're going to focus on in 2017 for us to love people. All right, number one, you love people by connecting with them, okay? By connecting with others. We need community. Folks, we need people in our lives. Hear me straight. You need somebody who knows you, but they need you to know them. It goes both ways. We need that, all right? We struggle in Durango. First of all, the culture of our community does not promote a lot of community building. We're busy, we're running, we got jobs, we got stuff going on. We moved here to go camp and to go to the lake and do these things. And we're all busy enough trying to find the time to do that. It makes it really hard to not have our neighbor be an inconvenience to us. Okay? So just culturally it's tougher. But also, think about it. You go to a church right now where our environment makes it hard for us to know each other in this community, right? There are times where you've been at coffee with me and you and I have been talking, somebody walks up, we talk for a minute, I introduce you, and I go, you two go to the same church. And you go, I didn't know that. Okay? We're not even that big, folks, and it still happens. So there's a battle here for that. So we need community. How are we going to get it done? Number one, all right, and straightforward, you need to be in a group. 33% of our church is in a group right now. We want it to be 75%. We're shooting for that by the end of the year. So that's doubling up that number this year. And groups aren't new for us. We've had small groups at First Baptist for a long time, but we're going to kind of shift gears on this for a little bit with this. And Jimmy's got leadership on this. We're excited about it. We're going to focus regionally. When what we're talking about is Durango West, the Mesa, Three Springs, Sky Ridge, the North Valley. Those are areas where we want small groups to pop up that way. And our small groups aren't there just simply for the fact of having another Bible study to go to, but with the very intent of knowing the neighbors that live around us. Make sense? I mean, I've got friends up in Sky Ridge. They're not coming to church here. They're not walking in this building. But they'll sit on my deck. They'll sit on my patio. And you've got friends like that too. And it's a great way for us to connect. It's a great way for us to get to know people. And so our small groups, the emphasis on this thing is to know each other and get to, and to be able to do some life with each other that way, but then with the idea of who is it that we want to bring in, that we want to draw in that way, okay? Talk with Jimmy. Call us here at the church. We want to plug you into a group. You're saying, well, Jeff, I'd love to do small groups, but man, my week is so busy. I'm running about 12 different directions. I can't do another night during the week. Let's give you another option then. The other way, the second best way to connect in with other people is to do Sunday school here on a Sunday morning. You're here anyway. Okay, we've got great Sunday school going on downstairs both during the 9 and the 10:45. Make that your group. Okay, plug in on that thing. All right. We need to know each other. You need to know somebody. They need to know you for sure. All right, so that's groups. If you're not in there, I'm challenging you. Make it happen. And talk with your spouse. Think through that thing. But let's get cracking on that thing for sure. We need that. But the second way that we can love people is not only by connecting with them, but by serving with others. And simply put, we are at our best when our gifts are being put to use. And we just want to expand this. Again, I'm stoked when I look at our numbers, 238 folks volunteering in some area of ministry. Thankful for that. Hear me. By the way, I'm not asking you to do 12 or 13 different ministries. I'm not even asking you to do two. I just want you to find one spot that's your wheelhouse and run like crazy in that. And hear me, that may or may not be the church. May not be here. May not be. Okay, some of us aren't ready. We're not wired to go teach fourth grade Sunday school. That's just not our gig, man. Right? Be free on that one. Okay? Nursery is not for you necessarily. There's a reason I have a microphone and I'm upstairs and I'm not downstairs right now. All right? I scare children, right? That just, we can't do that. All right? It's bad. Plus, there's not a mom sitting in the room that would trust your kid with me in nursery, right? That's how that works. But it might not even be in this building. Find your spot, man. Use your gifts in that spot. And go like crazy there. Everybody plays. It's huge. But no, as leadership in 2017, we are committed that the people who call this place home, we're going to draw you in to the work of ministry here because you make us better. Hear me, this church does not rise and fall on me. Because if it does, we're in a world of hurt. This is not a staff-driven moment. It's not an eldership-driven moment. And this is people-driven. We're good with that? Okay. Because if it's just dependent on what I can produce and my staff can produce within our lane, then we are limited on where we're going to end up. But man, we bring you in and you get to play on this thing. You're going to bring a facet and a perspective that's so far beyond us and will make us so much better. It's like the website, right? Jay sits down, does his thing. He's creative that way. Want him to run. Want him to do that. As a matter of fact, Jay starts an internship with us. You'll see him running around here, neat dude from the Fort. He starts an internship with us starting tomorrow. And he's gonna kind of take the lead on that thing. And he's going to be absolutely fantastic. And it's going to be good. We get to not only help him graduate from Fort Lewis College, we get to talk with him and say, how are you a design guy in the everyday world and you do it for Jesus? How does that work? I'm excited about that. So excited. All right? So we serve in that capacity. And so simply put, where is it and how do you plug in there? Right? Now, God has been expanding some things here at the church. I'm excited to make this announcement for us. This is a complete win for First Baptist. But one area where we're going to, as leadership, we're kind of taking a step of faith is we've watched women's ministry evolve over the last number of years and expand. And we're thankful for what God's doing there. And here's the long and short of it is my ministry capacity, Jimmy's ministry capacity, only goes so far. And what we've come to find out is that there's just a number of things that, ladies, you're just not coming to Jimmy and I with. We're thankful. You know, that way. But the need is there and it's great. And so after some prayer and a lot of consideration on this thing, I'm going to tell you today that starting now, we've brought Michelle Fowler on as director of women's ministry here in a part-time capacity. And we're excited about what God's going to do there. Ladies, if you don't know Michelle, you want to get to know her for sure. She's going to pray with you. She's going to love on you, and she's going to be a help to you in whatever way she can. I'm going to ask at this point in time, I want Michelle to come on down this way. I'm going to ask eldership who's here. Jimmy, why don't you come on down? We're gonna have a time of prayer real quick and ask God to move and work and bless what's going on here. And again, just absolutely excited about this for sure. I'm going to ask Ken and Jim if you guys would pray and if you guys would join us as we pray for Michelle and the ministry God has.
Sweet.
We're into that. Yeah, come on in.
Well, thank you, Father God, for the body of believers, and thank you for servants' hearts. Thank you for Michelle Fowler. Thank you for the gifts you've given her and her willingness and her desire to serve other women and to be a shepherd and to just be there for them. Thank you for her wisdom and discernment and her heart. Lord, I pray that you will bless her and continue to lead and guide and direct in what you want her to do and how you want her to love the people of this body and the people of this community. We thank you for Michelle Fowler. Let's pray this in the name of Jesus.
Well, God, you are an amazing God. Some of us have just got to see how you're moving and working in Nicaragua, and we come back today and we get to celebrate what you're doing here in Durango, and especially at First Baptist. God, we're looking forward to this year ahead. And adding Michelle to our team, it's going to be an amazing year as we see you move and work and guide and direct through our staff, and to use them and not only their staff, but all of us to reach this community. This community needs the gospel, Lord, and each person on our staff and each one of us, we want to be a piece of that, Lord. And so we thank you that Michelle is going to be a part of that, and we ask that you would bless her and that you'd use her in a mighty way today. And we praise you in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. That's good stuff. Now hear me on this. By bringing Michelle on, and across the board, guys, now that we're kind of back in kind of full staff mode on this, hear me. Man, we need you. Everybody plays. And we want to draw you into the work of the ministry here, and we want you to play in that situation. And so we love people by connecting with others. We love people by serving with others that way. I'm going to look at the idea of making disciples next week as we kick off Missions Month, and we'll get into that then. But I want to finish by kind of wrapping this thing up by just giving you three statements to walk out the door with. The first is this: everyone matters. Okay? Everyone matters here at First Baptist. This isn't reserved just for people in leadership or in a particular ministry, but everyone matters. It should absolutely fire our jets when we see someone walk into this church that we don't know. It's a gift from God. Anytime somebody walks into this building that we don't know, we should be excited about that. Okay? And hear me on that. It's everybody gets fired up about that. And you're saying, well, and I'm saying it should fire. I mean, when you look around and you see somebody that you don't know, man, it's the perfect time to go say hi to them. And you're saying, well, Jeff, I don't really feel comfortable with that, because what if they've been going to church here for like 9 years? And I'm just saying hi to them. Here's the best part about that conversation: you're not having that ever again with them, right? I mean, now you guys are now friends, okay? And I know for those of you who are more introverted, you're just kind of going, don't ever talk to me like that again. But it's good, all right? You all sit in your subdivisions. The Martinez's are not in their subdivision, but you all sit in your subdivisions. Man, when you see somebody new in your subdivision, make them welcome. All right. Not only should it fire our jets when we see somebody walk into this building we don't know, it should fire up our jets too when we don't see somebody that we know. Family. And when we miss somebody, we should let them know we miss them. And there are just enough of us here that I can't get to everybody. Jimmy can't get to everybody. So everyone matters. Does it make sense? Everyone matters. Number two, everyone plays. Everyone plays. I've already touched on it. Man, this is not about a personality-driven moment, some kind of manufactured moment this way. This is your church. Doesn't matter if you're 5, 15, 25, or 85 years old, man. This is your church. Make it your church. Make it your deal. Okay? Hear me. There's this idea, and if we as leadership put some kind of weird ceiling on you because you're new in your faith, you haven't been here long enough, or something like that, you need to look at us and go, please don't do that. I want to play. Okay? We want to help you on that. Everyone plays. This idea that I've done my time, man, that's going away too, right? We all have ministry. We all play here, right? God has us here because God believes, First Baptist, that we're the right mix of people to reach this community at this time. So we play on this deal. So everyone plays. Now, when we stop, you start at this point, you might be going, well, how am I going to do this? And what does it look like? And unfortunately, what it could do is send us out the door going, man, I got to work harder, do more, give more. Jeff made me feel guilty, all these kind of things. I'm going to give you one last thing, right? Everyone looks. Everyone matters. Everyone plays. Everyone looks. And you're saying, what in the world does that mean? Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22 says this. Look to me. Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there's no other. That's our play. Our play is to look to him. That's it. That's what we're doing. We look to him. And when we look to him, he'll let us know what next is. We look to him on this deal. That's our play, folks. And we look at this, and I don't know about you, but maybe you're looking at this and going, oh, that's nice, Jeff. That was cute. I like how we finished here. As a matter of fact, I even like my version of the Bible. You know, I got an NAS or I've got an ESV here, and it says turn to him, and I'm just going to turn to God. And that's nice, but go with me on this, because that sounds nice, except that this is a major challenge. And I want to be clear with you this morning. It's a mighty challenge in front of us. It's a challenge to an idol that's taken a place of prominence in our culture, in our churches, and in our hearts today, and it's an idol of safety. Okay? Hear me, the kingdom of God and his mission is not safe. It will cost us everything. And to turn to him, to look to him, folks, what we're saying is that's risk, because what is he going to say to us? What is he going to ask of us? And over the last 30 years in America, we've created the most risk-free society in history. As Americans today, we are the most seat-belted, bike-helmeted, airbagged, gluten-free, hand-sanitized, people-avoiding, sunscreen-applying, hyper-insured, over-medicated, password-protected, community-gated, continually vaccinated generation in history. And all it's really done is make us afraid of everything. And today, church, I want to challenge us. I'm challenging us, First Baptist, today, for the sake of the name of Jesus and this city, to stop playing it safe. To look to him and to say yes to God. That we say yes to him to love him, and we say yes to him to love others. Let's take a risk for him. Let's pray. Father, thanks for this morning. Thanks for what you're doing in this church and in our midst. Thank you for what you're doing in each of our hearts and our lives. And Father, my prayer very simply this morning is for each one of us as we look and we review and we think, God, just help us to ask. I mean, Father, are we responding to you? In what way do we need to respond differently to you? Father, how are we to give to you? How are we to serve? How are we to connect? And Father, help us to play. Help us to see our part and help us to walk in that. Father, we're thankful for the church. And we're thankful that it really is the most influential movement for your name and for the good of people on earth. And so, God, my prayer very simply today is help us to say yes to the things you say yes to. Help us to say no to the things you say no to. And I pray that we would love you more than we've ever loved you before. And we'd love others more than we've ever loved others before. And God, we want to tell you we love you and we praise you because we can. In the great name of Jesus, amen.